The Creator himself placed the veil with his own hand to keep him there. Her smile swelled a little as her eyebrows came closer together, creasing her weathered brow. The Nameless One cannot escape the prison the Creator has placed him in. Do not be afraid, child. Exploding in rage, Richard wheeled his bay mare around toward the sister. The two horses jostled, whinnying and tossing their heads. Richard firmly snatched the reins of the sister's surprised horse to keep it from rearing or bolting. He leaned toward her, his chest heaving in fury.
I will not be called names. I will not have names put to me because I wear a collar. I am Richard. Richard Rawl.
Sister Verna didn't flinch. Her voice remained calm and smooth. I'm sorry, Richard. It was only force of habit. I am used to dealing with ones much younger than you. I meant nothing demeaning by it. The way she stared at him made him feel suddenly foolish, embarrassed, made him feel like a child. He released the reins. I apologize for yelling. I'm not in a very good mood. She frowned again. I thought your name was Cipher. He tugged his cloak over his chest where the bandage covered his burn. It's a long story. George Cipher raised me as his son. I only found out a short time ago that I am, in truth, the son of Darken Rawl. Her frown deepened. Darken Rawl, the one with the gift you killed? You killed your father? Don't look at me like that. You didn't know him. You have no idea what kind of man he was. He imprisoned and tortured and killed more people than you or I could imagine. The idea of him being with my mother makes me sick. But that is the truth of it. I am his son. If you expect me to be sorry I killed him, you will have longer than eternity to wait.
Sister Verna shook her head with what seemed genuine concern. I'm sorry, Richard. Sometimes the Creator weaves a tangled cloth for our lives, and we are left to wonder why. But I am sure of one thing. He has reasons for what he does.
Babble. He was getting babble from this woman. He urged his horse around and started out again.
I'm telling you, the veil is torn and the Keeper is going to get out.
Her voice lowered dangerously.
The Nameless One.
He glanced over, annoyed.
Fine, the Nameless One. I couldn't care less what you want to call him, but he is going to get out. We are all in great danger.
Kaelin was in great danger. He didn't care if this sorceress of a sister burned him to a cinder. His life meant nothing to him anymore. His only concern was Kaelin's safety. Sister Verna's quizzical frown and smile returned.
Who told you such a thing?
Shota, a witch woman. She told me the veil was torn. He left out that Shota had also told him he was the one who had torn it. She said it was torn, and if it wasn't fixed, the Nameless One would escape.
Sister Verna smiled. Her eyes sparkled. A witch woman.
She laughed a little.
And you believed her? You believed a witch woman? You think witch women speak the truth in such simple fashion?
Fuming, Richard glanced at her from the corner of his eye. She seemed pretty sure of it to me. She wouldn't lie about something this important. I believe her.
Sister Verna seemed to think the whole thing amusing. If you had ever had occasion to deal with a witch woman before, Richard, you would know that they have an odd view of the truth. They can be well-intentioned at times, but witch women speak in words that rarely come to pass the way they sound.
The truth of that took some of the steam out of him. Sister Verna certainly seemed to know about witch women. In fact, she seemed to share his own view of them.
She seemed pretty sure of what she was saying. She was afraid.
I am sure she was. A wise person is always afraid of the Nameless One. But I wouldn't put much stock in what she says.
It's not just what she says. Other things have happened, too.
She looked over curiously.
Such as?
A Skreeling.
She set her calm brown eyes back ahead.
A Skreeling. You have seen a Skreeling. Yes?
Seen it? It attacked me. Skreelings are from the underworld. They are sent by the Nameless One. It was sent through a tear in the veil to kill me.
Her smile returned.
You have quite an imagination, Richard. You have listened to too many children's songs. He restrained his renewed anger.
What do you mean?
Skreelings are indeed from the underworld, as are other beasts. The heart hounds, for example. But they are not sent. They simply escape. We live in a world that lies between good and evil, between the light and the dark. The Creator did not intend this to be a perfect world, safe from all harm. We cannot understand His reasons always, but He has them, and He is perfect. Perhaps the Skreelings are meant to show us the dark side. I don't know. But I do know they are simply an evil that sometimes comes. I have seen this happen before to ones with the gift. It is possible that the gift draws them. A test, perhaps. A warning, perhaps, of the rancid evil that awaits those who stray from the light.
But there are prophecies that say they are sent when the veil is torn, sent by the Nameless One.
How could that be, Richard? Has the veil ever been torn before?
How should I know?
He thought a minute.
But I don't see how it could have been. If it were, how could it have been mended? And it wouldn't have gone unnoticed. What are you getting at?
Well, if the veil has never been torn, how could the Skreelings have been sent before? How would we know what they were? How could they have a name already put to them?
It was Richard's turn to frown.
Maybe we only know them as Skreelings because they have been named in the prophecy.
You have read this prophecy?
Well, no. Kaelin told it to me.
And she read it herself with her own eyes, yes?
No. She learned it when she was young.
Richard's irritated frown deepened.
In a song. She learned it from wizards.
In a song?
Sister Verna didn't look over, but her smile widened.
Richard, I do not mean to belittle your fears, but things repeated over and over, especially in a song, have a way of changing. As for prophecies, well, they are harder to understand than a witch woman. We have vaults full of them at the palace. As part of your studies, perhaps you will be allowed to work with them. I have read all of them we have, and I can tell you that they are beyond the minds of most. If you aren't cautious, you can find a prophecy that will say whatever you want to hear. Or at least, you will think it is what you want to hear. Some wizards devote their lives to the study of them, and yet even they understand only a tiny fraction of their truth.
This is a danger not to be taken so lightly.
Do you think the veil is torn that simply? Have faith, Richard. The Creator placed the veil. Have faith in Him.
Richard rode in silence for a time. Sister Verna did seem to make sense.
He felt as if his understanding of the world was tilting. But it was difficult for him to think too hard on the subject. Kaelin kept creeping back into his mind. His anguish at her wanting him to put on a collar to prove his love, knowing it would take him from her, tore at his heart. The betrayal burned painfully in his chest. He picked at the reins with his thumbnail. At last he turned once more to the sister.
That's not all. I haven't told you the worst of it.
She smiled a motherly smile. There is more? Tell me then. Perhaps I can put your fears to rest.
Richard let out a deep breath, trying to release at least a little of the pain with it.
The man I killed, Dark and Rawl, my father, well, when he died, he was sent to the underworld, to the Nameless One. Last night, he escaped. Escaped through the tear in the veil. He is back in this world, back to tear the veil the rest of the way.
And you know he was sent to the Nameless One? You were in the underworld to see him arrive there at the side of the Nameless One, yes?
The woman had a way of poking his temper away. He tried to ignore the sting of the jab.
I talked to him when he came back to this world. He told me. He told me he was here to tear the veil the rest of the way. He said the Keeper would have us all. A dead man come back to this world. Do you see? The only way his spirit could be here is if he came through the veil.
You were just sitting there, and this dead man walked up and spoke to you, yes?
Richard frowned deeply at her, but she didn't look over to see it.
He was at a gathering with the Mud People. I was trying to talk to their ancestors' spirits, to try to find out how to close the veil,
and he appeared.
Ah,
she nodded in satisfaction.
I see.
What does that mean?
Sister Verna's face set into an expression of tolerance, born of explaining things to children.
Did the mud people have you drink or eat some sacred potion before you saw this spirit?
No.
You simply sat down with them and saw spirit? Yes?
Well, not exactly. There's a banquet first for a couple of days. The elders eat and drink special things. But I never did. Then we were painted with mud, and then I went into the spirit house with the seven elders. We sat in a circle, and they chanted a while. Then they passed around a basket, and we took out a spirit frog and rubbed the slime from its back onto our skin.
Frogs?
Sister Verna looked over.
Red frog, yes?
Yes. Red spirit frogs.
With a smile, she looked back ahead.
I know of them, and it made your skin tingle, yes?
And it is then you saw spirits?
That's a pretty simplistic version, but I guess you could distill it down like that. What are you trying to say?
You have traveled the Midlands often? You have seen many of her peoples?
No, I'm from Westland. I don't know much about the people of the Midlands.
She nodded to herself again. Who do not know of the light of the Creator. They worship all sorts of things, idols and spirits and such. They are savages, who hold to customs of worship centered around these false beliefs. They mostly have one thing in common. They use sacred food or drink to help them see their spirit protectors.
She looked over to make sure he was paying attention.
The mud people apparently use the substance on the red frogs to help them have these visions of what they wish to see.
Vision.
The Creator has placed many plants and animals in our world for us to use.